Well, good morning. So many of you guys have been asking questions about the After School Club and what are you guys doing. And so today we're going to attempt to try to explain what's going on and explain what Adventure Friday is. So this is my agenda. Hopefully I stick to it. That's one of the activities that we were doing at the Catholic Club of Toledo. When we lost our building over here, we didn't really have a good place, and so we formed a partnership with the Catholic Club of Toledo, and we've been doing Adventure Friday on their campus. Many of you guys may know this and may not, but I thought it was a highlight of our year, this previous year, that we sent 8 students to Beulah Beach, and we supported 7, helped support 7 going to Life Conference. And many of you guys made that possible by just being willing to partner with us. Some of you guys know, but there's a timeline coming, but we had a change in our staff at the end of August of 2024. And so with such short notice, we had to figure out what we were going to do. Many of you guys probably don't know, but I work at a school, and I teach adventure at that school. And so that's where we started doing adventure through the After School Club. So this was how quick everything had to change. We had to find a place to meet and all those things. And so you can start in August of 24 all the way to, it started in November by the time we secured and made a contract with Catholic Club of Toledo. And it continues to this day. And then we also have a partnership with Art Museum that comes here on Wednesdays at 5 to partner with us. We still do tutoring if needed. One of the things I did find out that many of our schools offer free tutoring right after school from 3 to 4. Students can take advantage of that, but we will offer that if needed. We have several volunteers that are willing to help. A lot of the TUI board members, many of them are in part of this congregation, has been real instrumental in getting this up and running last year and continue to do. So I made note of that, as well as Andy Coral and my brother, who does some of the transporting and that kind of thing, have been real assets for us. Here's a typical schedule, what it looks like. We have dinner, check-in, a group activity, and then we always time to debrief and talk about it. And we always implement a biblical story or spiritual lesson in whatever activity we do. There's 7 core values that we kind of go along with, and I want to make note of a few of them, but they're all going to be listed here. Obviously, we want kids to have enjoyment, safety, trust, belonging. Everybody needs to belong somewhere, and why not here, right? Effective communication, how we communicate with one another, always can be improved. But I think number 6, freedom and empowerment. A lot of what I've found, a lot of our students do not like, they're afraid to make a decision because they don't want to be wrong. But I would challenge that to say that's how we learn, right? We make decisions and we make mistakes and we learn from those things. And then we don't want things to be so easy that you don't learn from it. And so we want challenge, things that challenge us to do things. Some of our prayer requests, for families and students that are currently coming, and for God's leading to find the next after-school director. Some of our needs, we currently are pursuing, somebody has been interested in possibly exploring the director position, and so I'm working with that individual, so be praying for that. We need volunteers that like to have fun and enjoy students, so if that's you, please see me. And other things that we do, we usually have a meal every night. We usually serve water, a bag of chips or other snack, and a main dish, and then dessert. I don't know if he's here, but there is Gabe supporting his brother. These are some of the things we did throughout the year. Up the right, there was a baptism at Beulah Beach. Down the right, we were doing an activity involving square carpets that you have to move together and figure out ways of getting across the gym. People getting awards at Beulah Beach. The pumpkin patch. And yeah, I just... feel free to ask questions anytime. I want you to stay informed, but I really feel like adventure is a way that you can get students engaged in learning from experiences, and then you can apply that in life lessons, spiritual lessons. So thank you today.
Morning. Morning. My name's Kane. I'm representing Fellowship of Christian Athletes this morning, and our area director has recently resigned. Our multi-area director is Carl Whitlock. He wasn't available to share today, and many of you know Rick Isaiah, the standout wide receiver from the University of Toledo, played in the NFL, was involved locally as a pastor and with FCA for many, many years here. He's now with the national office and living in Cleveland. So you guys get me today for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The mission of FCA is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. One tool that we use in FCA is called the four. Four simple truths of the gospel. Truth number one is that God loves you, sin has separated you, that Jesus Christ has come to rescue you, and the question mark there being, what will you do with Jesus? So FCA globally has a vision to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. Over 110,000 students have attended camps. Over 20,000 huddles exist in 115 different countries. And FCA has given away, just in 2024, over 219,000 Bibles. In fact, the last area director of Northwest Ohio told me that FCA gives away more Bibles than any other Christian organization except for one. The Gideons, of course, yeah. So, I am a huddle leader at Facet Junior High School, and there are 22 huddles operating in schools across Northwest Ohio. And in fact, I heard that this year, two more were going to be starting, so hopefully we'll get up to 24. When I came to Facet Junior High School 6 years ago, I had been involved in student ministry at the high school level for over a decade. And coming to Facet, I just didn't have a vision. I just couldn't see how student ministry could work in that environment with the restraints, and it was just much different from high school. And so, but for 4 years, I just kept feeling prompted by God to do student ministry at Facet. And I just kept having to tell him, no, there are too many obstacles. We can't do student ministry here. It just won't work. Well, after years of prompting by God, I finally decided that I would show him how it can't work. And Well, as you already know, obviously, all those obstacles began to disappear one by one as I confronted each of them. And so in February of 24, we got together for our very first meeting, and I didn't think anybody would come, and students came, and God has been blessing ever since. Last year was our first full year of ministry at Facet with our FCA huddle, and if you have really, really good eyes, you might see towards the back on the right there is our own Rain, who has participated in our Facet FCA huddles as well. So this is a picture of one of our huddles, the student who is in the black sweatshirt, third from the right. After one of our Friday morning meetings, he comes to my classroom and says, "Mr. Klinsky, I really need to meet with you today. Like, I need to meet with you today." I said, "Okay, that's no problem. Why don't you grab your lunch? We'll sit down somewhere and talk." Well, during lunchtime, he brings a friend, and we sit down together with our lunches, and he says, "I need to get saved." And so I walked through the gospel with him, and we prayed, and both him and his friend got saved that day. In fact, this is him on my left here, and during our Washington, D.C. 8th grade trip, he found a street vendor that was selling these Jesus t-shirts, and he convinced his friends to buy one so that they could all wear them to school when we got back, and they were really excited to come to my classroom and got a picture with them there. So this is one of our seniors at Clay High School. I invited her. She's a solid Christian, a senior cheerleader, and I invited her to share with our students that day, and so she shared how to live out her faith in school. And we really had a great turnout of junior high boys when we invited her to speak that day. This is a group of boys that I've had the privilege of meeting last year during our lunchtime. And we just get together, they grab their lunches from the cafeteria and come into a room that's available, and we do a Bible study together. And the boy in the green shirt there, one day during our Bible study, he says, "How can you know that you're saved?" Well, I talked about it there, and then afterwards I invited him to meet me for lunch later that week. He brought his friend, who I also knew had been searching, who's two people to the white there in the white sweatshirt. And that afternoon, during lunch, both of them prayed to receive Christ as their Savior as well. So these are the flyers. These are the flyers that are hanging up all over Facet Junior High School right now. Please pray for October 3rd, which is going to be our ministry kickoff for this year, that God will continue to do great work in the lives of students. And if you would be interested, we could use Bibles. The FCA Bible is a great resource for us, that everybody has the same version in a language, that a modern English version of the Bible, and they cost me $15 each. If you'd like to partner and buy a Bible for a student at Facet, I'll even give you the first name of the person that I hand it to, and you can be a prayer partner for them this year. Thank you, everyone. God bless.
Thank you. Good morning. I want to start with our TPS vision. We empower each and every student to lead and live a purpose-driven life. And when I think about our mission, I think about how our community stakeholders are connected. We thank you, First Alliance, for being connected, for being in alignment with our mission and our vision. I want to thank you because First Alliance provides Wonderful Wednesday, and we love Wednesdays. Why? We start our day with prayer. So we have Sister Pat and Sister Bobby who come each morning, and they're praying. It's time to step it up, right? Because my request today was, if I could have you come early this Wednesday, and I'm going to invite staff so that we gather and we pray and agree for additional covering. In addition to that, a First Alliance provides us with a school pantry. So our teachers have an opportunity to go to the pantry to get supplies for their classroom at least once a month. It's just a blessing. Christmas, you always give us small tokens of appreciation for the students, and you do a staff luncheon in May. For educators, it's the little things that mean so much. We go through a lot. Nonetheless, our goal is to continue to instill in our students that they can be great, that they are connected to resources, and that we just want the absolute best for them. We thank you at Rosa Parks Elementary School. And then we also want to have a community service project where we're giving back. I know last year we did a penny wars, right? And it was aligned with our house system. We are going to do something else because I struggle when people consistently give, give, give. Well, how can we give back? So that is our update for First Alliance. Thank you for the opportunity and continue to be a blessing. Thank you.
I'm here at TC because my husband and I were looking for a really good place to send our children so they could hear about the Word of God just like we're teaching them at home. And Toledo Christian is the place that we found is the best for our family. As parents, we always want to do what's best for our children. And education is pivotal here in the United States. And as believers, it's important that what they're learning is beyond what math is, what the writing is, what the reading is. We want them to be well-rounded from not a worldly point of view, but from a godly and biblical worldview. Toledo Christian will ensure that that happens.
I'm Dr. Scott Gibson. This is my 11th year at Toledo Christian Schools as a superintendent, and I love every minute of it. I'm here because I love to be in a culture that is flourishing with the student culture, the faculty culture, and the parent culture. It's been our mission and our goal to work with Christian families, provide a Bible-centered, Christ-centered education where we educate, disciple, and prepare students to follow Christ and impact culture. We partner with the family as well as the local church, providing an outstanding, excellent education.
My name is Isabella Correa, and I'm a senior at Toledo Christian. I've been involved with the Toledo Christian House program, the National Honor Society, the Fine Arts program, and also the soccer team. Toledo Christian offers opportunities for all the students. Some of the activities available to TCS students are an incredible sports program. You can be a part of the theater. You can also be involved with the Fine Arts program. They offer many things, including ceramics, photography, and different types of advanced arts that really allow you to grow in your skills and your technical level.
My name is Lucas Patterson, and I'm a senior here at Toledo Christian. TC is a great place where you can combine those opportunities and academics with your walk with Christ in order to build a relationship with Him. And the teachers and the people here all encourage you to do that. When I come to school every day, I know I'll be surrounded by people who love and care about me and want to see me succeed and grow closer to Christ.
My name is Dave Westmeyer, and I am the Spiritual Life Director here at Toledo Christian School. My absolute favorite thing that I've ever done in ministry is the House program. And what I love about House is that our students have great opportunities to lead. Bible class is where we learn about Jesus. House is where we learn to live like Jesus and to share that with each other. We use three words to describe House: charity, unity, and community. Charity is really loving like Jesus. Unity is where we make our house a home. And community is where we go out and serve other people around us.
I'm Sarah Anderson, and I am a biology teacher, and I'm the Director of Curriculum and Instruction here at Toledo Christian. What I love the most about Toledo Christian is the welcoming community that embraced us as we moved here. My oldest was a junior, my youngest was in seventh grade, and it was a hard move. And the boys came and they found a place and their people really quickly. And so that was, as a mom, that was a beautiful thing. We wanted a rigorous curriculum for our boys to be challenged. We knew when they went out into the world, they went to college, that they'd be prepared to meet all of the challenges that they were going to meet. I would say our curriculum is unique first and foremost because we have high expectations of our students. We introduce them to big ideas very early on. And we think kids are capable, given those opportunities, given the right guidance and shepherding by our teachers, that they're capable of doing big things.
My name is Christine Rogers, and I teach high school history and math at Toledo Christian. I also graduated from Toledo Christian and part of the class of 2000. At Toledo Christian, we understand that parents play an important role in their kids' life and the primary role of teaching and equipping their kids to grow and be grounded in the Word of God, and that we as educators get to have the opportunity to come alongside them and support them. If you're a parent considering sending your child to Toledo Christian, Toledo Christian's a great choice. We have great academics. We have a great spiritual foundation that filters itself all the way through all the academics that we do. And we really are truly one big family that not only cares about you, but cares about your entire family.
We're so blessed to know that our son and our daughter are hearing the word of God the way that we are teaching them.
TC has really been a community that cares for me like family.
At TC, we hope students are inspired to change the world.
Parents, you have a choice in where you educate your child, and there is no better place than Toledo Christian.
The thing that I love most about Toledo Christian is it really just feels like one big family.
Amen. Come on, that's exciting. I get pumped up when I hear about what God is doing across our community because it's just amazing. And you guys have just heard a snapshot. We could probably sit here for many Sundays and just be amazed by the things that God is doing in this community. And the beautiful thing about First Alliance is that you guys have such a rich history in the foundation of so many good works that are happening across our community, whether it's the school, the after-school program that we heard about. I mean, this church just has such a deep legacy of not only gathering together and exalting the name of God, but then also recognizing the importance of the Christian influence on our community. If we have not had a chance to meet yet, my name is Savannah, and I have the absolute privilege of leading Bella Vita Network, which is a ministry that has been around in Toledo for about 42 years. And you're probably really familiar with the name The Pregnancy Center. A few years ago, based on how God was growing our ministry, we opted to add an additional level that kind of covered all of our ministries called Bella Vita Network. And we get a lot of questions, you know, why the name Bella Vita? And the cool thing about this name is it has very important personal significance to us as a ministry, but it's also a prophetic declaration about what we believe that God is doing through Bella Vita. The name came to us in about 2017. We were awaiting a new ultrasound machine, and it got held up at customs, and we were really eager to get our hands on that machine. And so I did what any intelligent leader would do. I decided to have a naming contest to keep people excited and eager about this, and we got a lot of fun names, but the name that we landed on was Bella Vita. And that name, Bella Vita, means beautiful life. And the reason that we picked that name that that volunteer had submitted is because we really believed that the ultrasound machine was this tool that communicated and showed beautiful life to the families that were coming into the pregnancy center. And as we were looking to the future and kind of building this kind of house that housed all of the things that God was doing, Bella Vita seemed so vastly appropriate because as you're about to hear, that's what God is doing through this ministry every single day, is showing and showcasing that life is beautiful. Bella Vita has three outreaches. Sole Purpose is our campus ministry that really was birthed out of a place that we were seeing college students walking into the pregnancy center. And even if they were making a life decision for that unborn child, it really wasn't the best for that mom. You know, that if we kind of looked at best case scenario, while we were excited about this mom who was getting ready to bring a life into the world, she also had insurmountable challenges in front of her as she was completing her education. And so we backed that train up and we said, well, what if we had a program that actually raised college women up in their value, worth, and identity in Christ so that they actually never have to walk through the doors of the pregnancy center? And that's how Soul Purpose was born. We started at the University of Toledo, and we quickly realized that this was something of value that pregnancy centers across the country could implement. And we now have 9 Soul Purpose chapters across the country. We're actually in the process right now of launching an additional 3 chapters nationally. And we're just seeing God move in women on college campuses. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening in the news right now, and there's a lot of reports about this young generation that's coming up, and you're hearing kind of this resurgence that young men are returning to the church in droves, which is super, super exciting. That young men are getting passionate about God and searching him out. You know, we know that, though, it is equally important that we see revival in the young hearts of women as well. And unfortunately, right now, the trend is showing opposite, that young women are running away from biblical values and from the church. And we believe that Soul Purpose is such a pointed outreach in this season. The next outreach is the Pregnancy Center. Again, you guys are really familiar with the Pregnancy Center. I want to let you know that we covet your prayers at the Pregnancy Center. This year, compared to last year, we've actually seen a 61% increase in women who are either planning on having an abortion or have actually already started that process walking through our doors. 61%. I mean, it has been, I would probably say, one of the toughest years in ministry for us as it relates to the cases that we're seeing walk through the Pregnancy Center. And so I would ask you, as you're praying for us, would you just wrap that team up in your prayers? Because as they're sitting on the front lines with these moms and dads, so you can imagine just the weight on their shoulder. Because of this increase, we know that early ultrasounds available as soon as possible are absolutely critical. If we can't offer her an ultrasound when she calls, we really do run the risk of losing the ability to serve that woman that's considering an abortion decision. And so we're opening up a second ultrasound room. We believe that, you know, our ability to maximize the amount of ultrasounds that we can provide so that we can do those same-day ultrasounds. The other thing that new ultrasound, that second ultrasound room is going to do, last year I was able to talk to you guys about a new thing that we do now that's called abortion pill reversal, which really just means that we have the ability to prescribe a medication in the middle of a chemical abortion that actually reverses the effects of the first medication. And we had just rolled that out when I was with you guys the last time, and I'm here to tell you that we now are seeing babies born from those abortion pill reversals, and it's a lot. It's like every couple of weeks we're hearing about these babies. Come on, it's been so exciting. The last time I was here, I was also able to tell you guys about the new building that we were building and opening, Lori's Place. Lori's Place is open. The child care, so we have a child care component on the first floor for single moms that are completing any level of education. And I will tell you, the best part of my day is I take a break around 11 o'clock and I go sneak out onto the playground and spend my like 15 minutes with these kids on the playground. And it is such a beautiful thing. We are already seeing women at the Pregnancy Center that are making life-affirming choices because of the services that we're doing at Lori's Place, and so we appreciate your guys' support for that. The Haven is our last outreach, and this is our program that serves men and women who have had an abortion and are struggling after that decision. We know that God doesn't fall off the throne when people make, you know, decisions that are outside of what he wanted for them. And it's our good pleasure to be able to provide a biblical restorative process for these men and women. This year, we've really emphasized the male component of the Haven. We know that for every woman that has an abortion and struggles because of that, there is a man in that equation too. And we believe that God wants to heal the father heart the same way that he wants to heal the mother heart. And so we're ramping that up. As always, we know in a church gathering, statistics tell us that one out of every four women and one out of every five men that is sitting in a service on a Sunday has abortion as a part of their story. And I want you guys to know that if that is a part of your story, the Haven would be absolutely honored to be able to walk with you guys through that. And so that's what's going on right now. There's two things that I want to share with you about, just tangible things that you guys can be doing to support Bella Vita right now. The first is our Hearts on the Wall prayer group. So the beautiful thing about Hearts on the Wall and the commitment of you all to pray is that it's a once a week text message that you'll get with the prayer request, specifically the first initial of every woman who is considering abortion that we're seeing at the pregnancy center. And you guys, this is absolutely vital. I was just talking to one of our volunteers recently, and we were kind of talking about this reality that the spiritual intensity in these women's lives is going up through the roof. It is a level of spiritual battle like we have never seen before, which can be very, very disheartening. But the heartening part of that is that we know that God has a strategy. And we know, you know, the Bible says, not by power and not by might, but by my spirit declares the Lord. And we get the good privilege to stand in the gap on behalf of these mothers and fathers and appeal to heaven that he would change their heart, that we can only do what we can do. God wants us to do our part, but we can't do his part. Our part is standing and praying on behalf of these women and the privilege to be able to lift them up. And so I would encourage you guys, if you grab one of these cards out on our table that says Hearts on the Wall, you're going to get those text messages every single week. And then the beautiful thing is that when we celebrate that someone changed their mind, you actually get a video letting you know that a woman has changed her mind. And so you can celebrate with us. The second is Bella Vita 101. If you guys have not been into any of our facilities, we would invite you to come and see. We can't really articulate the gravity and the depth and the breadth of what God is doing unless you're really there and can see it for yourself. And so this could be your small group. I mean, First Alliance could host one. It could be your family. It could be your workplace. However you want to do that, we just want to invite you in to come and see what God is doing. Have the privilege to be able to just encourage you from the scripture this morning. And the thing that I love about Sundays like Missions Sundays are that they really, at the end of the day, they remind us that we serve a God who is on a mission. And we've heard about these awesome like missions that are happening, but sometimes this word mission, I don't know that we grasp it in its totality. And I like to think about mission like 007, Mission Impossible. Like you get that sheet or that folder that says like this is gonna self-destruct like as soon as you're done reading it. That is the kind of, when we talk about mission and our God being on a mission, it isn't this passive, laid back thing. It's actually this very active. In fact, the New Testament even describes it as a sense of violence. It says that the kingdom is violent. It's violent in the way that it's moving, and violent men take it by force. And unfortunately, we don't delve in the realm of the positive in that word, right? When we hear the word violence, like we only hear the negative version of that. But it's really this forceful reality that God is moving, and he's moving forcefully. And we celebrate that. And the reality is that from the Garden of Eden to the garden that we read about in Revelation, that everything that happens between and the moment that we're standing in right now, we see a God who is intentional about the mission that he is on. He is on a mission. And the reality is that mission is to redeem that which is lost. If we could summarize the whole arc of the scriptures, it's in that simple phrase that God created something and it got lost, and now he's on a mission to redeem and to find that which is lost. A few years ago, I was kind of wrestling with this concept of revival. It's this word that kind of is tossed like a frisbee, and wrestling with, like, is it a service? Is it when, like, God does something that was outside of our comprehension? And I asked him, I said, God, I want to wrap my head around the reality of what revival is. And this is what he said. He said, the simple definition is it's the restoration of what God intended. That we see in the Garden of Eden that God actually laid out for us a blueprint of how he desired things to be. And revival is really just attempting to get as many people, as many situations, as many things, as many spheres of influence back to the way that God intended it there. And as we've heard about these incredible ministries today, the reality is that the majority of you are serving outside of the church or serving outside of these ministries. And sometimes we can sit in a service like this and go, that's really great for them, but what does that mean for me? And of course, part of what it is that we want to surround these ministries and love them and pray for them. You better show up early on Wednesday. When the sister says she needs you to show up early on Wednesday, come on, church, that's a call to be able to show up and to surround this ministry. But the reality is that if you're serving outside of these spheres, it doesn't mean that the work that you're doing is outside of the kingdom. It's still spiritual work, and it matters. First Colossians tells us that whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that you will receive the inheritance as your reward as you serve Christ. Friends, this morning, I want to tell you that if you're in finance, do finance biblically. Set a culture. Make disciples, teach finance from the Bible, help people understand how to hold their wealth in a way that leaves legacy for their children and their children's children. If you're in education, come on, this is kingdom work. If you're a stay-at-home mom, it's kingdom work. John Stott, who is an early Anglican writer, says that the expenditure of energy in the service of others, which brings fulfillment to the worker, benefit to the community, and glory to God, is kingdom work. Let me read that again. The expenditure of energy in the service of others, which brings fulfillment to the worker, benefit to the community, and glory to God, is kingdom work. When you wake up tomorrow, whatever that place that you're going to go to that pays your bills, the reality is that is your kingdom work. That is your mission. And our job, our mission in that is to be a display of God to those around us. If God is hardworking, then we should be hardworking. If God is joyful, then we should be joyful. If he's eager and proactive and strategic and shrewd, then we in our spheres of influence should be those things as well. I want to submit to you this morning that you have two calls as a part of this great mission. The first call we receive in Genesis 1:28, and this idea that God commands us to be fruitful and to multiply and to take dominion. And in his book, John Mark Comer, the book is Garden City, he lays out kind of the grammar behind this word to take dominion. And what it actually means is to shape and shift the culture, to cultivate the culture around with us. And I know that you see this around you, is that the world that we live in is crying out for sons and daughters of God who would be diligent about shaping the culture. That we know that what is written in the Bible sets out principles that actually dictate a life that is blessed. We know that men and women coming together and marrying and creating family is good for the culture. We know that being shrewd and diligent in our finances, both as a family unit, as city, and as a nation, that it creates blessing. That we have in the book that we're reading the answers that our culture is desperate for to turn us away from this path of death and destruction into these places that are vibrant. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says, by his divine nature, God has given us everything that we need for a good life. And we have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by the means of his marvelous and glorious excellence. That you have everything that the people that you do life with and work with and are in community with, that you have everything that they need because you've come to know him. And so we have this call to be able to begin to shape and to shift and to cultivate the atmosphere and the culture around us. I think I've shared this analogy here. It's been one that's been very profound in my life, and it's this idea that we can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. What does a thermometer do? Just tells you what the temperature is. What does a thermostat do? Tells you what the temperature is, and then it changes the atmosphere to the desired temperature. And I want to submit to you that we have a lot of thermometers in the church right now. And I want to humbly submit that it does not take a prophet to be able to go outside of these doors and go, not good, not good. But that's what a thermometer is it's just turning on social media or sitting at a coffee shop or talking with your friends and family and going, not good, not good, not good, not good. But come on, church, a thermostat sees the signs, sees the way that things are going and go, it's not good, and God, use me to do something about it. Here I am, Lord, send me. Use me. Take what is on the inside of me and cause a change to the things around me. The second call I want to submit to you is laid out in Matthew 28, 16 through 30, and that is to make disciples. This is not a suggestion. This is an urgent call for the church in this hour, is to preach the gospel, to baptize people, and to raise up disciples. I believe that the phrase, you know, be the gospel and preach words when necessary is cute, but it's not biblical. It's not biblical. Of course, our lives need to line up with the scripture. If we preach the scripture with our words and we live alternatively, we actually devalue and decay the very scripture that we're preaching. But if people do not hear us preach the scripture, then what makes us better than any other good work before us? We must boldly declare that God is the way to eternal life, that he is the only one through his risen son, Jesus, is the only way to escape the damnation that we deserve. We need people that will boldly preach the gospel, that will help put people into the baptismal waters so that they can die to their old self and be raised again to Christ, and people who will sacrifice their time and their resources. I love what you're doing. Come on, I'm sure you would like your own lunchtime, but you said it's not about my lunchtime. It's about creating space for these young men to be able to hear the word of God and to be given an opportunity. Come on, we can't love our lives so much that we're not willing to sacrifice time to be able to raise those up around us. I want to give you three keys that I believe will help you walk this out. And it's easy to remember. I'm going to give you all three, and then I'm going to talk about them very briefly. The first is you have to be rooted. The second is that you're called to be radiant. And the third is you have to be ready. Rooted, radiant, and ready. What does it mean to be rooted? You have to be grounded in the word. I take an opportunity to say this everywhere that I am at. The church is anemic in understanding the scripture, the Holy Bible that has been put before us. And how can we preach a gospel that we ourselves do not understand? And the reality is that if the scriptures are not shaping us, then culture is. If we are not allowing the word to penetrate who we are as a people and adjusting our lives to fit under the Holy Scriptures, we will be shaped by the culture. And we cannot change a culture that we are being shaped by. The reality is that scripture gives us God's wisdom. And so when you're coming into these places where people are hungry for wisdom, if we haven't fed on that wisdom ourselves, then we won't be ready at that moment to give them the truth that they need. And daily immersion into the Word keeps us aligned with His design. To live radiant means we have to live the gospel as we preach it. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 through 3 lays out this idea that we are living epistles, that people are going to experience the gospel in our lives before or as we speak it. And we have to make sure, like I said, that our lives are lined up to. One of the most damaging things that's happening in the body of Christ right now are men and women who are standing in pulpits and saying the gospel, but living contrary to how it's laid out to be. And we never want our lives to be the very thing that turns people away. Integrity and excellence and joy in our work matter. And it creates the credibility to share the hope within us. 1 Peter 3:15 says that we should be ready at every moment to give an account for the hope that we possess. And the reality is, if our lives look like the lives of the lost people around us, they're not going to ask us. Our lives have to make people wonder. They have to make people curious. And when we live a gospel-centered life, I promise you, your life is going to look really funny to the people around you. We have to be ready. This is engaging intentionally in your sphere of influence. One of the things that we should be doing every single morning is praying for opportunity. Asking God, interrupt my day with holy interruptions. Put people in front of me that need the kindness, that need to hear the word of God. The last couple of weeks have been crazy, and I felt convicted that everywhere I went, I should ask one person, how are they doing? Like, how are you doing with everything that's going on right now? And I am telling you, I had like the most wild, I prayed for somebody to accept Jesus in a sauna at my gym. Just because I took the crappy things in the news and just said, how are you doing with all this? Like, there's a lot of crazy things going on right now. Like, come on, anybody can do that. It's just making yourself available. We got to step over the chicken line. The chicken line is this imaginary line in the sand that is between your comfort and somebody hearing the gospel. And sometimes we just have to tell ourselves, I just need to step over and take that risk. And I promise you, as you start doing it, it is so addictive. It's addictive to encourage people that are already a Christian and to be able to witness to those who have yet to hear, right? It's like you get it and then you want more of it. The reality is that discipleship happens through proximity and purpose. You can't disciple people from across the globe. I'm sorry. That is one of the great lies of our interconnectivity. Discipleship happens in proximity. It is when people are doing life. You read through the scriptures, Jesus was eating meals with people. He was walking long distances with people. He was doing life with people. He was going to the market with people. That discipleship means that we have to be in proximity, and it's on purpose. In conclusion, I want to remind you that we are not looking to escape culture. We're looking to create it. Discipleship is not an option. It is our assignment. And all work is kingdom work when it's done for our King. We're thankful for the ministries and the missions that you've heard about today, but you are on a mission, serving a God who is on a mission. Have you ever realized that you lost something that was special to you, something that was precious? Maybe it was your wedding ring or your car keys right before you had to go to work. Maybe it was your child's favorite toy right before bedtime. Do you remember how you turned the house upside down, how you frantically went room to room and turned everything over, every couch cushion, digging through the laundry, retracing your steps because of how much it mattered? And do you remember the joy that flooded your heart when you found it? That is the kind of joy that heaven has when one lost thing is redeemed. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for the word this morning. I thank you for the call that we are meant to shape culture, that we are meant to make disciples. God, I pray that you would send us out with the fervor of the early church to seek that which is lost, God. If we pray for a revival, God, I pray that you would use us to be that revival, God. We know that you're on a mission, God, and we know that that mission is good, and we want to partner with you to accomplish your will in Toledo as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.